Daniel chapter 4 is where we will find our scripture for today, selected verses. It would be good and wonderful if you would read through Daniel 4, as well as Reverend Gibbons suggested that we read Proverbs. But I'm finding that we're living in many of these passages in Daniel. It is you, O King, you are grown and become strong, for your greatness is grown and reaches to heaven, and your dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew down the tree and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast of the field till seven times pass over him. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spoke and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from you. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till the hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High God and praised and honored him that lives forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Verse 37, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment. And those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. We want to talk about high pride warnings. High pride warnings. You may be seated. In this passage, we are introduced into yet another encounter that Nebuchadnezzar the king has with Almighty God. And this speaks to us because we are in a generation now where people don't mind giving themselves praise and honor and not recognizing where they got it from. We realize that all of our help comes from the Lord. Whatever you have, whatever you will be, whatever you will do in life, God has to open those doors. God has to give you the insight in order to achieve things in life. Without God, as Jesus said to Pilate, we can do nothing. Everything depends on the power and the grace of God. Amen? Amen. As we look at this, I'm reminded of what those that lived in coastal areas, they had to be warned of what we call the high tide. An organization called the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, is responsible for monitoring the tide, monitoring how tides come in and how they go out. And what I didn't realize, and perhaps maybe some of our officials should look at what folks do before they cut their jobs, I'm just saying. According to NOAA's website, the U.S. maritime transportation system consists of over 25,000 miles of waterways, ports, and other navigable waters. It is the backbone of the American industry because 95% of what comes into this country and goes out, about $11.4 trillion worth of products, comes into these ports. Isn't that something? And their job is to let them know what's happening with the tides, what's happening with the climate in these coastal areas so that they can arrive safely, choose the best route, and be able to deliver the goods. But that's not all that they do. They actually have other functions. The coastal They provide a dashboard. And I was actually looking at it, and it shows you the specific times when tides will come in and be high tide and when they go out. That's very critical because people living in those areas would need to be warned, especially when you have these weather events, hurricanes, storms, the tides will go up. And people need to know if something happens, we need to move to higher ground. That's what these folks do. That's the type of information that they provide, as whether as other coastal weather, tide predictions, coastal condition forecasts, and also what we call the high tide warnings. They participate with the National Weather Service in letting people know what's happening in those areas. Here's my question. How do you know when you develop this thing called high pride? Not high tide, but high pride. How do you know when it's elevated to a point now where it's at a dangerous level? Where it's at a place now where harm can be done? There's one place you find it. You can find it in the Word of God. You can actually find it when people who are godly will say, hey, you know, maybe you're kind of acting out of character. Ladies and gentlemen, it's important that we be held accountable because everybody is under God. If you do not acknowledge Him as God or think of yourself as a God, trouble is pending. So we all need these warnings. We all need to be reminded that, yes, you might be doing good things. Yes, you might be accomplishing great things, but know where it came from. Can I just go on back and tell you what my grandma said? Know where your help comes from. Somebody can say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be today? That's why we come to church. That's why we worship God, because we're giving thanks. We're offering our praise to Almighty God because you can't even draw your next breath if God doesn't give it to you. I guarantee you that if He doesn't will for your heart to beat, you won't have the next one. But I'm here to tell you that we're alive today because of the goodness of God. Can y'all go on and praise Him the first time and just let folk know that you're thankful, that you're thankful. The Bible says in the book of James that God resists. He resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I want you to ponder that for a minute. It does not mean that you cannot be proud of your youngster who gets A's on their report card. That's not what it's saying. Does not say that if your child is participating in some sports event and they happen to score a touchdown or a goal or whatever, it does not say that you can't applaud them and be proud of them. But what this is talking about is when you develop something in your heart and in your mind that says, I'm better than everybody anybody else. I'm the top cookie. I'm the top dog. I'm the head honcho. I'm bad. When we begin to self-reflect and we build ourselves up on this pedestal and ask ourselves the question, how can the world do without me? Trust me, it'll do without you. But you cannot do without God. We are warned throughout the Bible in other passages that God gives us. Proverbs 16 and 5, it says, "For everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination unto the Lord." Pride. We need those high pride warnings. Now, you and I know that as a child of God, you go acting crazy and acting stuck up and acting solidified, you know what's going to happen. You know that, you know, when you get yourself to that level, God going to bring you down. Just like the old folks would tell you, go somewhere and sit down. You know that. Our nation needs to be warned. They put it on the money, but they don't have it in their heart. In God we trust. Can I preach to y'all today? I'm just as concerned about you that there are certain people, and not just in our political realm, but in business and everywhere else, where people get to a certain level and they act like they're better than the folks that work for them. It's got to change, ladies and gentlemen. All of us need help from God. Oh, I don't know about you, but I needed him this morning. When I got up out of my bed, I said, "Lord, let me see a brand new day." And guess what? He did it. And guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to thank him. I'm going to give him praise because he's worthy. Bible says, "Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Evidently, Nebuchadnezzar didn't get the memo. Nobody sent him the email. But yet God had been speaking to him. If you look at the first four chapters of the book of Daniel, you will find out that God had been showing him not just one time, but several times. God showed him through Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, what we call Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God had showed them what he could do with simple lives. These young boys had come from Israel, and yet they excel far more than every other nationality. Why? Because God had his hand on them. Some of you have gotten jobs that other folk were double qualified for, and you got it. Why? Because God had his hand on you. You did it because the Lord knew when I put you there, you were going to give me thanks. You were going to give me honor. You were going to recognize that I'm God. God had been showing Nebuchadnezzar, and he just kind of gave him nominal praise. Well, yeah. Y'all boys, y'all pretty good. You go on about yourself, your business, and I'll take care of my business. When he had a dream, God had to show him what the dream was all about. He didn't know. Wise men in Babylon, they didn't know. God showed him what the dream. What did he do? He went out because he understood now the dream that Daniel interpreted. Went out and built a great big old statue in the middle of the plain. And talking about, I'm the head of gold. Ego. Yes. Ego. Finally, he had another dream. And this time, God wasn't playing. God was telling him, I'm sending you a warning. I'm just letting you know that I'm in charge. Sometimes God speaks to us not to punish us, but to remind us he is God. Bible said he had this dream about this tremendous tree, this huge tree. The tree was strong. It reached up to heaven. Could be seen to the ends of the earth. The leaves were fair, and it was abundant with fruit, and all the fowls of the heaven dwelt under its branches. That was Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel told him, said, now you are that king. You're the one that God put in charge of everything. You're the king. You're the one that God set up. But then, just as the tree was there, Daniel began to interpret the other part of the dream. He said, now, but wait a minute. There was a watcher. Everybody say watcher. There was a watcher that had said to this king, cut down the tree, cut it down, cut off the branches, shake off the leaves, scatter the fruits, and leave the stump. Daniel said, I wish this was somebody else, king, but it looks like the Lord's coming down your street. It looks like the Lord is sending you a warning. He said, I wish the dream was about your enemies, O king, but the dream is really about you. You have exalted yourself to heaven, and you're giving yourself credit for what God has done through you. God wants us to be humble. You know, he can use you better if you're humble. You can think clearer if you're humble. My mama told me something a long time ago. You can't look in the mirror and look at where you're going at the same time. I found out that was certainly true. Got to pay attention. So the Bible said that this watcher, this holy one, came down and pronounced what was going to happen. I want to open up this up just for a little bit and talk about this watcher. We know that angelic beings, we don't see them, but they're around us. They're here. The Bible also says in the New Testament that they are sent to watch over those who are the heirs of salvation. I don't see my angels, and it's really not necessary. But sometime when I get in trouble, Reverend Fred, it's good to know that they're there. They're watching over you. They're watching out for your good, and so that you can accomplish what God wants you to do. If you're doing something that is good, they're the ones that encourage you, that motivate you, that give you the energy, because they are sent by God, Dr. Franklin, to lead people in what they ought to be doing. There's nothing wrong with that. But when the watcher has to stop watching over you and then watching you, you got a problem now. You got a problem. This watcher that had been with Nebuchadnezzar throughout all of his quest, all of the conquerings that he had been able to take place, now the watcher saying, I got to stop dealing with what I need to do and start dealing with you because you won't listen. Pride. High pride. I know some of us are feeling pretty good about where we are now in life. And you should. Got a home, got a good car. Man, you got it made, as the young folks say, you got it going on. All God is saying is know where you got it from. In all of your ways. I got a 401k plan, and well, some weeks it doesn't do too good, but other weeks it's pretty good. Things are going well. But you have to recognize that the Lord, he is God. I'm going to go ahead and give you this summary of what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. The angelic being said to him, 7 years are going to go by, and you're going to be out of your mind. 7 years, God is going to put you, if you would, in time out. Not going to take the kingdom from you, but he's going to allow you to see that without the Almighty walking by your side, you can do nothing. Amen. Now, I want to say something about our culture. We got this thing called individualism. Let me break it down to you. Folks are saying, I don't need nobody. Guess what's happening? You're going to need somebody. Yeah. Dean Martin sung in a song many years ago, everybody needs somebody sometime. Nebuchadnezzar had gotten to the place that he was uncontrollable because he felt there was no accountability. Nobody tells me what to do. And God said, no, it didn't. I'm sorry, Lord. Don't want to get myself in trouble messing with you all. But you get the point. You get the point. You see what I'm saying. So Daniel said, King, here's my suggestion. Why don't you go ahead and just break off your wickedness? Stop living unrighteous and start acknowledging God. He said, this is going to help you. Nebuchadnezzar did pretty good for about a couple of months, almost a year. Then 1 year later, he was walking through his palace and he said, this is my palace. This is what I built for my kingdom. And then he really tried to poke his finger in God's eye by saying, for my honor and my glory. Somebody say, uh-oh. Whenever you get to sitting in God's chair and God didn't tell you to sit there, guess what? Can I just talk to y'all today? I've been preaching y'all last Sundays, and I'm just going to talk. We're just going to have a conversation today. Young people, the best thing that you can do growing up is to humble yourself. One of the best indications that you will have that you're humbling yourself is to listen to your parents. You might not agree with them. You know, they old folk. They don't know everything. You get it, but they still your mama and daddy. Amen. And you need to listen because they're telling you something for your own good. This watcher, while the king was uttering his famous speech, I got it all. The watcher said, this day, your kingdom is taken from you. You're not going to lose it all, but I'm going to sit you down, and you're going to understand that the Lord, he is God. Amen. I want to use a play on words as I look at this thing called the watcher, and I want to use the look of pride. Can I do that? I'm going to tell you four things about pride that every one of us have to face. Every one of us will have to deal with in one time in our life or another. You're going to have to deal with this thing called pride. If you don't keep it in check, it will quickly take over you and tell you things that are simply not true. Pride didn't just begin with Nebuchadnezzar, and it certainly didn't end with his regime. Pride started in the Garden of Eden when actually the devil said, you shall be as gods. Well, they were already children of God, but they wanted their ego inflated. They wanted that special privilege to say, I'm above everything. And so God had to deal with them. First thing about pride, it says, look at me. Look at how important I am. That was Nebuchadnezzar. He said, look at me. Hey. Now, for whatever reason, people will brag, you know, they will boast about it. Some folk think they good looking. All right? Look at me. But guess what time is going to do? Miss Ruby Mickle said, when time will come by every 10 years, and you know, when you're in your 40s, it'll just high five you. Then Miss Mickle said, when you get to be 50, it'll come in and it'll hit you in your chest. When you get 60, it'll come by and it'll slap you. Then she said, when you get 70, it's going to come and it's going to knock you down. I found that to be true. The point is, you can never tell people look at you because really they need to be looking at you to see Christ. They need to be looking beyond that vessel and seeing that God is the one that established you. When you brag on God, when you talk about His goodness, when you point people to the Lord and said, if it had not been for God, then you're saying to everybody, I know that my Redeemer lives. Second thing about the look of pride is what we call, look at what I know. Look at what I know. I don't know. I must be getting old. Because a lot of things that I thought I knew, I forgot. And then what I thought I knew, it didn't work. People spend more time trying to prove that they're right, wasting time on trivial stuff. I'm right. And that automatically makes everybody else wrong. But we don't do that in church. We don't do that. Ladies and gentlemen, that's pride speaking. Instead of saying, you got your way of looking at it, I've got my way of looking. Let's see if we can't talk this thing over. Because the only one that's ultimately right is God. Did you know that? And once we find out that God is right, and that's what Nebuchadnezzar was doing, he said, you know what, I'll just do things my way. I'll just run the show. I'll just have everything to go the way I want it, and nobody else has a say to anything. Well, God does. And remember, the watchers, these angelic beings, guess what their job is? Set up kingdoms. Take down kingdoms according to the word of God. When God tells them, get him out of the way, bring somebody else in, guess what's going to happen? God's will be done. That's why I've been telling you all, hold on. Don't just get carried away with what's going on in our government, because it's going on in our society. It's going on in our world. It's not just the government. It's everywhere. You got folks that'll get mad at you if you blow your horn at them. They'll jump up on your hood. And swear out you wrong. but the watchers are watching. The watchers are watching. Y'all learned something today. Nebuchadnezzar said, I got a lot of stuff. God, let me just set the record straight. God is not angry at you if you are rich. No, because he knew he gave it to you. But if you ain't got sense enough to know where you got it from, either one or two things gonna happen. Either it's gonna leave you, or you gonna leave it. Go out there in the graveyard. If you don't think I'm wrong, go out there in the graveyard. You don't see no houses out there. You don't see no car parked beside a grave. I watched Brother Mel when this young child was, this youngster was about 18 years old, and they were putting him in the grave, and a lot of young people came putting their class rings in the grave with them. You know me, Miss Kaplan, I'm gonna look around. I saw it, and they were grieving, and I can't disagree with them. They lost a friend, lost a comrade, lost a classmate, and they were putting the rings in the casket with them. But I happened to look over at the grave diggers, and one of them was doing like this. Pawn shop, here we come. Your possessions will not fit in that grave. But here's the good news I want to tell you. Here's what I want to say to you. Your possessions, if it's something that you got on the inside, will not only go with you to the grave, it'll go with you to the other side. If you got the faith, if you have the love, if you have, amen, the power of God, the salvation and the grace of our Lord, it's not only good for over here, it's good for over there. Somebody say yes. People get carried away. Look at me, look at what I know, look at what I possess. But then the last one that the Bible really warns about is when they begin to say, look at what I shall be. And by the way, some of you saying, well, preacher, you ain't talking to me because I'm poor and poor folk don't have pride. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. I want to correct you on your thinking. Poor folk have said plenty of time, if I just had some money. If I just had me $50, I'd show you something. Poor people, those that have nothing can also have pride. Oftentimes, those who don't have, look at those who have, and they will make judgments about them. That's an indication of pride. That's you allowing yourself to say, if I was sitting in such and such a place, man, I'd be so much better. Not realizing that it's the grace of God. Amen. And I'm glad today that we can say that God's grace is with us. Amen. To this last point, Nebuchadnezzar had 7 years to think about it. As he was literally eating grass like an ox, nails grown like birds' claws, hair like birds' feathers. Out of his mind, because he didn't realize the one who was a mind regulator. But then one day Nebuchadnezzar looked up and he said his understanding came back to him. He realized that there's somebody bigger than you and I. Come here, Mahalia Jackson. She said, now, who made the mountains? Who made the trees? Who made the river flow to the sea? Who hung the moon in the starry sky? Somebody bigger than you and I. So when we think about it, all that we have, all that we possess, all that we will ever be has to come from God. Don't make plans about tomorrow saying what we're going to do. Simply say, if the Lord wills. If the Lord wills, if God makes a way, if God provides, I'm going to be able to succeed. I was talking to the Lord yesterday, and the Lord said, I want you to do something, son. He said, I want you to pray over your congregation. I want you to pray over them. Pray that the hand of God's protection would be over them. And that's what I'm going to do at the close of this service, because I don't want you to be shaken by the things that are going on in this world. I want you to be able, instead of looking at yourself, look up to the hills from whence cometh your help. So I'm going to pray over you. I'm going to pray the very authority of God that he would keep you and that you would know that we're on our way home. We don't have long to stay here. The Bible said when you see these things begin to come to pass, then know that your redemption is drawing nigh. When I see all of these things happening in the world, reeling and rocking and wondering what they're going to do, I said, you know what? It's not long now. Amen. Joe, he's on his way. Yes. King is on his way back, and we better get ready. Amen. Make sure that your stuff ain't stuck here. Amen. Y'all didn't get that one. Because if you worried about your stuff, you better know, amen, that you're going to lose it all. But guess what? I got more over there than I do over here. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And guess what? Even if I get to the place where I don't have a penny in my pocket, I still got a God who's a way maker. I still have a God who's taken care of me thus far. I've been able to take my journey. I've been able to say, Lord, thank you. We've got a memorial service that we need to be in a couple of hours. Brother Long, his loss of his mother, and we want to recognize and help them through that. That service will be at 2 p.m., graveside service. How do you escape the grip of pride? Four things. Number one, listen to God. Listen to God. Don't just read your Bible to say, well, I read Genesis chapter 1. Read it to get your information. I noticed that the people in the organization called Noah, they will study the data. First they obtain it. First they get insight as to what's going on. Then they're able to study it, and they're able to use past data to understand what they need to do with what's going on right now. I dare you to take God's word and say, Lord, you made a way for David. You made a way for Daniel, and I have no doubt in my mind that you'll make a way for me. I want to listen to what you have to tell me. I want to be able to say, this is what God says. And ladies and gentlemen, if you get in that position, you're in a good place. Look at somebody and tell them, I'm in a good place. Not only do you listen to God, but the second thing, you let it go. Let it go. Just let it go. Talking about my dog bigger than your dog. Both dogs gonna die. Just let it go. Think you got something today in what I learned from an alpaca sweater. I had an alpaca sweater. Paid good money. Bought it from Jack Witt's store down in South Boston. Alpaca. How many of y'all know if you pull the wrong thread on an alpaca sweater? Man, I thought I was sharp, so I got to. Next thing you know, I had sleeve gone. That's the way pride is. It'll make you think you got something. Then all of a sudden, not only do you pull it, but other folk begin to pull it. You don't have what you think you have, but you do have this day. I said you do have this day. Rejoice in it. Be glad. Be happy. Didn't God put food on your table this morning? Well, why are you worried about what's going to happen this evening? Same God can provide for you. Let it go. Look at somebody and tell them, I'm going to let it go. Third thing, look up. I love the way the Bible puts it. It says, then Nebuchadnezzar, he looked up. He lifted up his eyes to heaven, and understanding returned to him. He said, I bless the Most High. I praise and honor him that lives forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom from generation to generation. Look up. David looked up. The people in the Bible, they looked up because they knew where their help came from. Then lastly, live in gratitude. Be grateful. I'm reading through the Old Testament again. As I read every year the Bible, try to read it through. And I'm finding that every time the children of Israel got to a place where things didn't go their way, they started grumbling. They murmured, they literally murmured their way all the way to the promised land. Why we got to go through this? Understand this. Life is going to be hard. Nobody, when you got your birth certificate, nowhere on that birth certificate did it say life is going to be easy. If you don't believe it, go back and read it. Life is going to present some ups and downs. It's going to present some challenges. But that's where you learn that you got help. You got a watcher. You got God making a way for you. Why are you getting bent out of shape? Because life is hard. That simply means that it's up to God to provide for you. When you trust in him, you can live a life of gratitude. Don't murmur and grumble and complain and fight other folk all the way to heaven. You ain't. Yeah, this ain't right. Live a life of gratitude. And I guarantee you, you'll not only make yourself happy, you make everybody else happy too. Have y'all learned something today? Amen. I want to pray over you now. I want to pray over you. And then we're going to pray a prayer together. I've been commanded by the Lord to pray for you. Because some of you, it's getting to you. It's beginning to hurt is beginning to be painful. God knows that. He understands where you are. He understands what you're going through. And I want to pray that God's hand of protection and his blessed assurance would rest on you. Can I do that?
Yes.
Father God, I thank you in the name of Jesus that you're almighty. Lord, I thank you that you have confronted us about our pride. Yes. And you've simply said to us, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. That's what we're doing, Father. We're praying. First, we're praying that you'd forgive us our sin. Forgive us of our pride. Forgive us of our independence. And now, Lord, let us be dependent upon you. But God, in the name of Jesus, I speak your hand of protection over your people. Not only those that are in this congregation, but those that are listening online. I am praying for you. You may have to go through trials. You may have to go through storms, but God Almighty will be with you, and he will guide you, and he will keep you, because he is the Lord. Father, I pray your hand and your grace upon our lives, that we would live to the fullness of what we're able to do, and that we would serve you with humility and with all joy, knowing that you brought us this far, and you will take us all the way home. Lord, I thank you for your promise right now. For those that need healing, I pray for their healing. For those that need understanding, I pray that you give it to them. Open up their minds, Lord, and let them see. For those, God, who are facing challenges, whether it be within organizations or whether it be in their family, God, would you give them that victory in the name of Jesus Christ? I pray, God, that, Lord, you'd make it happen. Not because we're that good, but you are just that merciful. Show your mercy, Lord. Show your grace. Show your kindness. Because it's in the matchless and mighty name of Jesus that I pray this prayer. And Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. And all the people said,
amen.
Amen. And amen. Let's pray this prayer together. All stand as we pray this prayer. Let's pray together. Oh God, we confess to you our pride and failure to give honor to your name. Please help us to give you glory and to live for your glory all the days of our life. Remind us, dear Lord, that we can choose between pride and praise.
Help us
realize that praise
always places us
in a good place
with you.
We pray in Jesus' name.
Praise God.
Amen. 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 Going to give the invitation. If there's one today that you have been struggling in your life and you feel that you need prayer, the altar is open. If you're unsaved, if you're uncertain that you're saved, we invite you to come. Acknowledge that Christ is Lord, and God will work in your life in such a way that he will give you that blessed assurance. Is open.
I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you. With hope.
surrender.
I surrender.
For starting that event. So we want you to sign up, RSVP. Why? Because we need to know how many people will be in attendance. Now this is going out to area churches too. So don't think that it's just for Crossroad. Once again, our history just wasn't formed in February or here at Crossroad. But it was formed in a church. And that's where we're gonna start. So the movie you're gonna see, Matinee, movie like they used to be. We ask you to bring your lunch. This is a box. Now, if you have a big family, bring a big box, okay? Now, if you don't, you can bring a smaller one, but you know what? Or a bag lunch. That's what we ask. Now, there is a meaning behind all of this. So please come out, sign up so that you can come, bring your box, and we will provide water for you. You know, we're always interested in what the church is going to give us. All we're going to give you is a bottle of water. That's healthy for you. Thank you, Pastor.
Remember the message about pride. We leave here today, I believe that God has a message for each and every one of us. Pride comes before destruction. You know, as the pastor was praying, it's interesting that the pastor believed that God is going to change our lives here,
yeah,
right?
Oh, yeah.
But then it is up to you to believe and trust God to make that change
Amen.
In your life.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor, for the message. Father, we thank you today. We bless your name. We magnify your name, dear Jesus, because you are worthy. You have given us everything that we need. So we thank you. We thank you, O God, for being here today to share with each other a message that will help us grow, that will help us, O God, develop so that we can become strong, as you have stated, that we must be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, so that we can go out and share your love with others. Now, Lord, as you have blessed us throughout the week and throughout our lives, we come to this particular moment, O God, to thank you for the offering. We pray, O God, that each and every one of us, O God, that has been blessed, we thank you for giving us the opportunity to participate. It is a blessing to give. It is a blessing also to receive. But it is also a blessing, O God, to share our love with you, because we do know, God, that everything comes on from you. So we do pray, dear God, that you use it to continue, O God, to speak to the hearts of men and women
boys and girls so that they can come to the saving knowledge of the truth of God's word. Thank you for this privilege. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord cause the light of his countenance to shine upon you and bless you with his peace this day and all of your tomorrows. Let the church say amen.
Amen. Amen.